So today's scripture verse is Matthew 13, starting at verse 3. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, and they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And he who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now on to verse 18. "Hear the parable of the sower. When everyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sowed in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, but indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30.
Amen. Thanks, Josiah. Good morning, family. How are you? Good morning. Good. So we're going to talk about this parable this morning. Stephen texted me this morning, said, "Hey, you're going to do great. How are you feeling?" I said, "I'm feeling a little bit nervous. I don't want to say anything wrong." And he said, "It's okay. It's okay if you do. It's okay. It's even okay if you bring offense to someone." And I thought, I'm going to bring offense to everyone then. That joke was just for Steve Crawford, I hope. Thank you. Got the thumbs up. We're good. Okay. Is the text up there? No? Is it going to be? Let's start at the very beginning there. "And he told them many things in parables." This summer, we're going to be talking through this chapter of Matthew where Jesus speaks in parables. And so to start off this series, not only am I going to have to preach a sermon on this parable, I also have to explain what are parables and so that we have a good foundation going through the rest of the summer. And then the rest of the people who are speaking this summer get an easy job. You're welcome. So, what are parables? I think every one of us who's grown up in church or has some idea of what Jesus taught has heard about the parables or parables in general, and we have an idea of what a parable is. And so if I asked everyone in here, what do you think a parable is, we'd have some answer, and we'd probably have some particular parable in mind. The thing is, we'd all have different answers, probably because we'd all be thinking of different parables in particular. And that's okay. Probably whatever you think the parables are is correct. The problem is, I think that we probably all have too narrow a view of what a parable is, because we're all thinking of one particular parable or one version of a parable. And the truth is, parables in general are actually just, it's kind of a wide assortment of things. It's kind of a catch-all for a genre of teaching that includes mysterious messages, or as I'm going to call them, wrapped messages. So Jesus sometimes speaks directly and does his teaching directly. So in Matthew chapters 5 to 7, he does the Sermon on the Mount. It's pretty direct teaching. We're going to spend, I think, a little bit of time on that later in the summer. But here in chapter 13, as you can no longer see behind me, Jesus is going to, he begins, and he spoke to them many things in parables. Parables are like indirect teaching. They're mysterious messages or a mysterious form of teaching or wrapped messages. How many of you prefer to be direct in your speech? You just like to cut to the chase. Let's get there right away as soon as possible. How many of you are kind of like, let's kind of spend our time getting there around, dance around it a little bit? Or maybe you just like poetry, and you like using imagery and metaphor and stuff, and you're the kind of the indirect speakers, yeah? And how many of the indirect speakers married a direct speaker? It seems that that is the way it goes. I don't really know myself, but we're going to talk about wrapped messages. Parables are wrapped messages. So sometimes the parables are simply just like a proverb, like the book of Proverbs, like a two-line instruction that causes you to think a little bit. Sometimes it's a long story that kind of verges on allegory and you have to put some pieces together. There's a whole assortment of different things that Jesus did when he taught in parables. But the main thing that keeps them in common is that they are forms of mysterious speech or wrapped messages. So I need, for this next little bit, I need a few people to come help me do an illustration that probably doesn't need illustrating, but I'm going to get people to do it anyway. Angus, please. Josiah. Isaac, you want to come up? And I need a Jesus. Is Julian here? No. He's at camp. Harry, would you like to be our Jesus this morning? I'm going to give you this message of the kingdom. If you would come stand over here. Isaac, could you come stand over here? Could you just stand in place like this, like you're walking towards Jesus? Thank you, don't move. Josiah, you can come have a seat on the fence. And then Angus, can you do the same thing Isaac's doing, but walk away from Jesus? Very good, okay. You are. Why did Jesus talk in parables? Why didn't he just cut to the chase like he does in Matthew's chapter 5-7? Why does he wrap his messages of the kingdom? Here's why. Up until this point in the gospel, Jesus has come on the scene and he's got a message. And what's his message? Everything he's doing and saying has one theme to it. Do you know what that theme is? I'll give you a hint. It's the same theme as our sermon series the last couple months. Anybody? Anybody? Kingdom of heaven. Very good. Someone, I'm sure, said it. So, Jesus has the message of the kingdom of heaven. He's been direct about it so far, everything he's doing and saying. He's bringing the kingdom of heaven at hand. So far, the crowds have three different responses. Some people are like Isaac here, and they are very intrigued and in to what Jesus is saying so far. They hear kingdom of heaven is at hand, and they want in. Some people hear what Jesus is saying, and they're like Josiah here. They're on the fence about it. They're not sure one way or the other what they want. They're kind of intrigued, but for the most part, they're just disengaged. The third group of people are like Angus here. They hear what Jesus is saying about the kingdom of heaven, and they're pretty sure they want out. They're pretty sure whatever he's bringing, they don't want to be a part of. So what Jesus begins doing is wrapping his messages like a gift. The reason he does this with parables is actually, it's very clever. What he does, okay, first of all, remember, what's the message? The kingdom of heaven. The message of all the parables, spoiler alert, the kingdom of heaven. So if you end up not showing up for the rest of the summer, now you know the answers. Kingdom of heaven is the message of all the parables. Sorry, Rob. The kingdom of heaven is going to be what all these parables are about. Not just the kingdom of heaven, but an invitation into the kingdom of heaven. So every time Jesus is speaking or doing something, it's always an invitation to join the kingdom of heaven, join in with what he's doing in bringing the kingdom of heaven. People are starting to react in three different ways. Jesus sees this and then begins teaching in parables so that it, first of all, he offers another invitation that will hopefully keep these people headed in this direction, get these people off the fence and headed in that direction, and invite these people to turn around and head in that direction. So the parables are wrapped for the purpose of being intriguing. When he gives a parable, the people, you can give a gift to Isaac there. When he gives a parable to someone who's already in, I mean, they're in, but they're like, okay, what is this parable? Because remember, their mysterious speech, it actually spends some, you have to engage with it, you have to participate with it before you can actually get to the heart of the message. So it involves some unwrapping. Don't unwrap it, there's nothing in there. It involves some unwrapping, but for the people who are already in, they're eager to unwrap it. They want to know more. Now, for the people who are already in, what they're going to find once they unwrap the message is that the kingdom of heaven is actually a little bit different than what they were thinking it was. And so sometimes the parables illustrate what the kingdom of heaven is. And for those of us who are already in, we're going to find out that the kingdom's a little bit different than what we were thinking. But because we've already spent the time unwrapping and we're engaged with the message already, before we even get to the message, there's a good chance we're going to continue being engaged and correct course to receive what Jesus is saying about this new vision of what the kingdom is. Now, if Jesus gives the message of the kingdom to the person on the fence, this is an invitation. So the parable, again, is an invitation for that person to get off the fence. They can't just sit there kind of in one ear, out the other, maybe I'll tune in, maybe I'll tune out, who knows, I don't know, you know, work for my attention here, Jesus. When he gives them the message of the kingdom in a parable, those who are disengaged so far are now forced to choose whether they're going to engage or remain disengaged. So the parable, because you have to think about it, you have to participate with the message itself, you have to engage with it, you go, what is this saying? Hopefully, for the people on the fence, it will cause enough intrigue that they'll go, okay, I want to hear more, and they begin unwrapping the present, they begin unwrapping the word, and they find in the message another invitation into the kingdom. And because they've already begun this process of being engaged with what Jesus is saying, simply through thinking through what is he talking about, then they're going to answer affirmative, positively, to the invitation into the kingdom. Making sense so far? How are we doing? I'm sure you can guess what's going to happen the next time. For those who are already walking away, when Jesus gives the message in a parable, they are forced to stop walking away, turn around, and again, engage, right? So he gives them the message of the parable. Hopefully for those who are like, I hear what you're saying about the kingdom, I think I'm out. Hopefully the parable is mysterious enough and causes enough intrigue that they go, what is he saying now? And it causes them to turn around and want to unwrap the message further. And again, once because the parable is mysterious speech and causes them to need to unwrap it, hopefully because they've already then turned around in their hearts to begin to have some spark of interest in what Jesus just said, because it's not immediately clear what he's talking about, then hopefully as they begin to unwrap the parable for themselves, that will cause them to then, again, answer positively to the invitation that's inside the parable to join in with what Jesus is doing in the kingdom. How are we doing? Great? Okay, good. That's parables. You guys can go sit down. Thank you very much. You can give them a round of applause. All right. So this parable, what is this parable about? Conveniently, this parable is about what to do with the parables. So the first parable that Jesus tells us, the invitation in it and the teaching in it is, here's what I want you to do when I talk in parables. And actually, it's a bit broader than that. It's about what do we do with the message of the kingdom in general? And I mean, essentially, what we find here is, how should we respond when God speaks? How should we respond when God speaks? There's one more thing that's common to all the parables, and that is, because they're invitations into the kingdom of God, there's always good news. Often it's implied. What comes across most strongly in the parables is often a challenge. Because often what happens is it's a challenge, especially for those on the fence or those walking away. The challenge is, I'm going to have to turn around, and I'm going to have to repent of going this way, or I'm going to have to repent of being disengaged, and I'm going to have to start to engage. I'm going to have to change my thinking on what Jesus is saying. And so often the parables end with a challenge. We're going to see that. Jesus is offering that challenge. But even in that, there's good news. Like, that's grace. The invitation to repent is always grace, that Jesus would even allow us to repent and change our ways. Even if we've started walking one way, and then he says, hey, come back, that's grace. So that's good news, the challenge itself. But there's always good news implied in the message of the kingdom, because it's, again, remember, an invitation into the kingdom of God, into what Jesus is doing and saying. What's the good news here? Before we go any further, what's the good news of this parable? The good news here is that God speaks. So this parable is about how should we respond when God speaks? Good news, God speaks to us. God speaks to us. We've been doing a lot of listening exercises in junior youth this year. Thanks to Steve Crawford and Missy Strovey and Michelle Osterley and Kara Bailey and Todd and Howard. They all came in and did a lot of listening exercises with the junior youth. And at the end of them, I say, who heard from God today? And usually all of them put up their hands. And I go, you guys, God, the God of the universe, the one who created heaven and earth, the one who's paying attention to Pluto right now and making sure Pluto stays in orbit and doesn't go off, and he's been doing this for a millennia, that God spoke to you today. And they usually look at me like a tree full of owls. Well, you guys, maybe it's because I've been using Pluto as an example and it's no longer a planet, but I gotta change my tactic. But you guys, God speaks to us. God speaks to us. If you have a phone, I want you to take it out, open up your notes for a second. Or if you have a pen and paper, that's better, then you won't get distracted by Instagram. Unless you want to Instagram me speaking. Get something to just take, jot a few notes down. God speaks to us. God speaks to you. I want you to write down the last few times, like 4 or 5 times, that God spoke to you. You don't have to write out the whole thing that he said, but you could just write it, you know. Remember that time he said this. Last 4 or 5 times, what did God speak to you? Maybe it was something in a prayer time that you had that God spoke to you. That counts. Maybe it was something, what was the last 4 or 5 scripture passages you read? That's God speaking to you. That counts. Maybe some of you are going, ooh, I haven't been spending a lot of time with the Lord like that. Well, what were the last 4 or 5 sermons you heard? That counts. God's speaking to you. Maybe it was just someone came up to you and encouraged you and affirmed you, and it really spoke to your heart, and you went, actually, God, thank you. I needed that. That counts. When I started going through this exercise as I was studying, the Lord brought to mind our whole church's discernment process and said, hey, remember a few months ago when your whole church got together and said, God, we need to hear from you on where our church is going? That counts. That's God speaking to you. If you heard something during that time, maybe include that. For me, I just thought, if I'm being honest, I listened, I prayed through some the stuff about like where is God taking our church and all the other questions that Todd asked us to pray through, and I actually felt I got some pretty good responses from the Lord on those things, and I wrote them all down, and then we figured out the lead pastor thing, and for some reason I just thought, well, I guess that's done now, we can move on, and I actually forgot about some of the other things that God had said during that discernment time. So if you heard something, or if you heard that somebody else heard something from the Lord, that's still for us from that discernment period. So what were the last 4 or 5 things that God said to you? Just write them down. You can tuck those away. We'll get them, come back in a minute. So how do we respond when God speaks? This parable will tell us how to respond when God speaks. It gives us 4 examples through 4 different types of soil. And the last one is the one we want to be. We want to be the good soil, okay? Because the good soil bears fruit. He's talking about sowing the message of the kingdom, and if you're good soil, you will bear the fruit of the kingdom. Now, some of us have been looking at our lives going, I'm not sure about this whole kingdom stuff. I'm not sure about this Jesus stuff. I'm not sure about this church stuff. Where's the fruit of it? It's not changing my life. Where's the fruit of the kingdom in my life? I'd invite you, if you've started wondering, where's the fruit in my life, I'd invite you to consider which type of soil you are. Because if you're not the type of soil that is bearing fruit, then maybe there's some change that you'll need to do. Now, he doesn't actually say what that type of soil is. He just says, then there's good soil. There's three types of soil you don't want to be, and then there's the soil you do want to be, and that one will bear fruit. Notice this other piece of good news here. Jesus is the one who speaks. He's the one who sows the seed. Our responsibility is to respond to it. So whether there's fruit or not can depend on whether we responded right. But even if we responded right and we were the good soil, notice that there's a few different harvests that could come from it. You might bear fruit 30-fold. You might bear fruit 60-fold. You might bear fruit 100-fold. How much fruit you bear is not due to your response. Whether you're bearing fruit of the kingdom has something to do with your response to God speaking, but how much fruit you bear is not up to you. Again, this is good news, because if you go, I'm going to be responsible for myself, I'm going to respond faithfully to the word that God speaks, he's the one speaking, sowing the seed. He's also the one responsible for how much fruit there is. That's not up to you. If you go, well, there is some fruit, but it's not as much as the fruit in Amos's life, so I must be doing something wrong, because Amos is flourishing over there 100-fold, right? I've heard some of you say that. And I've just got like 30-fold, and now I'm embarrassed, and I must be doing something wrong. I'm not a good enough Christian. No, the fruit, how much fruit of the kingdom in your life there is up to God. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is simply to respond appropriately when God speaks. So how do we respond appropriately? Well, let's look at the three negative types of soil. And basically, the idea is don't be these three types of soil. So first type of soil is the path. The sower goes out, spreads the seed on the ground, and there's paths. The paths are hard-packed dirt. So the seed lands on them, doesn't actually get into the dirt, and then because of that, eventually birds just come and eat the soil and fly away, and nothing happens. There's no fruit because of that. What is this about? Well, as we read on in the second bit of the passage, Jesus says this is because those people have hard hearts, essentially. Their hearts are hard. They're filled with doubt. They don't receive the message. Even when I speak it, they don't receive the message with joy or with faith. The path are those whose hearts are hard, filled with doubt, and are not receiving God speaking to us with joy and with faith. So what do we do when God speaks? First thing, receive the message with joy and with faith. Don't let your heart be hard. Is there doubt in your heart? Are you a skeptic when God is speaking to you? Because that hardness of heart, that doubt, is the soil that provides a feast for the devil. So later he says that those birds are actually the devil coming away and snatching up that seed. If your hearts are hard, that is the attitude that provides a feast for the devil. So don't be the path. Have a soft heart. When God speaks, receive it with joy. Receive it with faith. Let it sink into your heart. Second type of soil is the rocky ground. The rocky ground is the seed gets into the ground a little bit, but there's not so much soil, so there's not so much moisture. So even though there's some fruit with the plant growing, eventually the sun starts beating down on it, and it scorches the plant, and it withers away. There's not enough moisture in the soil. The roots didn't get deep enough. That's what it says. The problem here is that the seed doesn't go deep enough. There's no depth of soil, is what it says. There's no rootage in the soil. So what do we do here? Well, when God speaks to us, We don't have hard hearts. We receive the message with joy, and then we let it sink in further. And we engage with it. We engage with what God's saying to let it take root in our hearts. How do we do that? There's probably a whole sermon within this question, but I would suggest spiritual disciplines. This is how we begin to engage with what God says to us. We spend time in prayer saying, okay, God, I heard you say this. What else do you have to say about this? And you engage with him. Fasting, asking people around you. I felt like God saying this to me. I heard that sermon last week and it made me think this. What did you hear last week in the sermon? We engage with it and we let that word sink deep into our hearts, grow roots, so that when the sun comes, and Jesus says the sun is trials and persecution. Basically, he's saying what's going to happen is God's going to speak to you, and then something's going to happen in your life that speaks the opposite message of what God's speaking to you. And then you're going to be forced to choose, am I going to believe my experience or am I going to believe what God said? And if you've engaged with what God said enough and it took root in your heart, then you're able to choose to commit to, rely on, and depend on what God said to you when what your experience is doing is saying the opposite. So to not be rocky soil, what we need to do is when God speaks, we receive it into our hearts. We're not doubting. We're not hard-hearted. We let it take root in our hearts. We engage with it, maybe practicing spiritual disciplines, asking more, wrestling with the word. And then, first of all, expect that your experience is not going to align with the message that God has spoke to you. You're going to be forced to choose between what God has said to you and what your experiences are saying to you. And this part tells us, hold on with faith to what God has said to you and let that take root in your heart. The third and last type of soil is that which has thorns growing. So some of the seed falls on the ground with thorns, and maybe you're not the person who's got a hard heart, and you're not doubting, you're receiving it with faith and with joy, but he says the thorns are the cares of this world. One version says the seductiveness of wealth. Caring more about this world than what God's caring about. So God gives you a message about, what's the message about? Kingdom of Heaven, I think, is probably what you mumbled. God gives you a message about him and about his kingdom. To receive it properly, to respond properly, means that we then have to let God's message about him and his kingdom root out our cares about us and our kingdom. So when we hear a message, when God speaks to us, what we have to do is we have to go, do I care more about the promise of his word, or do I care more about the promises of the world? And we have to let that word get into us and look around in our hearts and go, okay, if this is what God's saying about him and his kingdom, where am I believing the opposite? Where am I believing something, or where is that message in conflict with my cares about myself and my kingdom? And then we have to choose, am I going to hang on to those things, those thorns? Or am I going to hang on to what God says? The truth is, we can't hang on to both. Sometimes we go, okay, God seems to be saying the opposite of what I want. His message is this, and my message is selfish. I'm not sure which one. I'm going to just see how they grow up together. We'll just let them hang out in my heart, God's message and the message of the world. And we'll see what happens. Maybe God's message will become stronger. God goes, if you're going to do that, those thorns are just going to choke out my message. When I speak to you, how to respond appropriately is to let my message uproot the message of this world and the cares of this world. Let the care for God and his kingdom uproot the care for you and your kingdom in your heart. So I hope it's very simple. Would you like to bear the fruit of the kingdom in your life? Yeah, me too. What's God saying to you? What's he been saying to you? First of all, are you listening? Like, God speaks. God speaks to us. Verse 9 says, He who has ears, let him hear. Which I think is being a little bit, like, I think Jesus is getting a little sarcastic there. Like, hey, I'm speaking. Are you listening? I'm speaking to you, and I have good things to say to you. I have a good message in here. I'm wrapping it, so you need to unpack it. I'm trying to get your attention, though. Like, look at this packaging. Don't you want to unwrap it? Yeah, it's beautiful. And then you unwrap it, and inside is another invitation into his kingdom. It's all grace that he is inviting us into his kingdom. He has good news for us when he speaks. Are we listening? And then when we're listening, how are we responding? So maybe for you, look at that list again. What are the last four or five things that God said to you? I had to go through this myself and go, did I respond appropriately? I think for the most part, I received when he spoke to me with joy, and I went, well, that's great, that's cool. I was trying not to have a lot of doubt. I was trying to be soft-hearted towards it. But then some of the things that he had said to me, I actually immediately forgot about. I wrote them down. I didn't let them sink in. I didn't pray about them further. I didn't ask him more questions about it. And then some of the things I did let them sink in. But then when my experience started speaking the opposite message to me, I went, oh, maybe God didn't say that. And the trials and persecution or whatever came, and I went, that must not have been true. And I just let go of it. I didn't commit to believing and trusting in what God had said to me. And in some ways, God spoke to me, and I said, okay, that's about you and your kingdom, but what about me and my kingdom? And I didn't choose to let the concern about his kingdom uproot the concerns about my kingdom. So what about you? How do we respond when God speaks? But let's give thanks, at least, that God is speaking. And not only is he planting that seed in us, but he's responsible for the fruit. We just have to respond appropriately. And then he'll bring the fruit of the kingdom himself. We don't have to do anything. We just have to respond to it. We just have to engage. We just have to unwrap the gift that he's giving us in his message of the kingdom. And then what we find inside is a gracious invitation into his kingdom. That's good news. Father Rob.